I'm your host, Jeff Dawson, for another episode of Dawson's Domain, where we cover the spectrum of life's pressing issues and events, from politics to relationships, sports to horror, alternative history to poetry, humor to baseball coaching, and everything in between. Jeff Dawson from sunny Dallas, Texas. It is a beautiful 72 degrees out, and it sure beats the hell out of the crap we had for the last 3 days. We were spared the ice and the snow that pretty well just hammered from Oklahoma City going west, and I guess from Wichita Falls up to Amarillo. That was some nasty stuff. And of course, everyone is posting their pictures of the trees coming down. And yeah, like this hasn't happened before. I remember when that hit, I think it was in 07, and the city of McAllister, it was such a devastating storm that not only did the water supply freeze, the sewage treatment plant froze up. Now that was brutal. In fact, I remember driving back from Tulsa because I had to go back to work, and that was a really long drive. I'm glad you've joined us this afternoon. If you have any questions or comments, you can call in at 888-627-6008 or 323-744-4831. I also do YouTube videos, and you can find them on LDDJEnterprises.com, and then go to the blog. And that's where I post all of my new books, my thoughts, and the vlogs that I do. We know we've got an election coming up. And if you've been on Facebook, you've seen the insanity flying around, whether you're on the right, whether you're on your left. It has been nuts. So I'm going to share a couple of things that I wrote earlier this year to give a perspective on my writing style and how I think. And then I'm going to get into the insanity that we have been pummeled with from either side. It doesn't matter. But this one that came up, I just shook my head. And when the guy posted it, he wanted to know, is this true? And I was like, you know, I'm just going to sit on that. So I'm going to put that off to the side. The first episode I did on BBS One was pre-recorded. And I was thinking about the Star Spangled Banner and the rioting that was rampant across the United States, the lives that were being destroyed, the businesses that were burning down, the riots, the protests. I mean, it was nuts. And when I wrote this back in 8/15 of 2020, the words, oh, say, can you see, kept going round and round in my head. And it's like, okay, there's got to be something there. So this is what I came up with. And I have a friend who is a professional musician, and his name's Jeff Shadley. I don't have a website for him, but if you like Frank Sinatra music, I highly suggest you look him up, because he was one of those kids in high school that when he played his trumpet, you knew this kid will be a professional. He didn't need the sheet music. He just had the ear and the embouchure to play his horn. And he was a sophomore, but you knew right then, man, this kid is going to be great. And to this day, I've made one of his concerts in Tulsa, and it was phenomenal. He also did a charity concert down in the Lakewood area in Dallas for a bar where he plays at, trying to raise money so they could keep their doors open through this wonderful pandemic we're all enduring. So if you really like Frank Sinatra and jazz, look up Jeff Shadley. He is phenomenal. And I was, as I said, I was honored to be able to play with him and our jazz band in Memorial High School for, I think it was 2 years, because he was a year behind me. Fantastic musician. But then we had a lot of really good musicians back then. I was one that if I don't have the sheet music, you don't want to hear what comes out of my horn, because I've got the ear of a dead nail. I can read the music, I can play the notes, but you want me to improv? Yeah, let's just say we're not going to do that. Okay, so let me get back to this. Oh, say, can you see? Oh, say, can you see? Francis Scott Key had no idea how prophetic those words were when he penned them as the British shelled Fort McHenry. Oh, and what she has seen. As an infant, finding my way, I tripped, stumbled, and fell a few times, but got back up. I was vilified and heckled by the crown who swore to bring me down. Betsy would have none of it and gave me life. She gave me a foundation unlike any other nation. She meticulously sewed 13 strips of cloth and 13 stars on a vivid backdrop of blue. She chose the colors carefully: red, hardiness and valor; white, purity and innocence; and blue for vigilance, perseverance, and justice. George and his men held me high when the odds were stacked against him. I bled at Lexington and Bunker Hill. I froze at Valley Forge to raise flagging spirits. I proudly crossed the Delaware. Many said I drowned. I didn't. I stood tall at Yorktown as a victor. Even though we claimed victory, my countrymen became petulant and obnoxious. They denounced the president and claimed he was a king. I wept as they squabbled to find their way. I smiled as peace was on the horizon, but storms were gathering on other frontiers. France and Spain still wanted their fair share. France needed money, Spain, territory, and Texas. I was tested again in 1812 when the Union Jack wanted one more crack. I cried as the White House burned to the ground, but didn't bow. My countrymen united and once again repelled the invaders. Oh, say, can you see? Once again, I took a breath and added more stars. My country was growing and stabilizing, but it wouldn't last. My Southerners hung on to chattel slavery. The tribal Indians stood in the way of expansion. Spain was running out of steam in its grip on Mexico and the Southwest. I knew nothing good would come of it. I could only watch and wait. Once again, my colors came under fire on April 12th, 1861, from the Stars and Bars. I tried to talk reason to my brethren to no avail. I shed 1,000 tears as 600,000 paid the ultimate price for freedom, liberty, and justice. When the smoke cleared, all I could see was a scarred landscape and decimated populace. My colors were soaked with the blood of my brothers and sisters. I worried the country was open for invasion from foreign powers. Would we be able to mend the ills and wrongs of the past? Oh, say, can you see? Like any proud mother, I loved and cherished my children, yet doesn't mean I approved of all of their decisions. The eviction and moving of the indigenous people saddened me. They were here long before we came to the New World. I believed they could have lived in harmony. I was wrong. I stood strong as my country grew and more stars adorned my field. I watched with great interest as the country grew and expanded westward, filling me with pride. I was amazed at the industrial might the country was turning into. A once agrarian land was becoming a beacon of industrial revolution. I did not approve of children being forced to work, but hoped they would identify the error of their ways and correct it in time. I was called again to a land I never dreamed of helping. I didn't worry about past differences. I answered the call to make sure my distant countrymen and their allies prevailed. I bled more at Argonne, Belle Wood, and Flanders. My children fought bravely and valiantly, protecting those who needed the help. I shed more tears while my colors were held high and true. Perhaps now I can rest and enjoy the fruits of my labor. Oh, say, can you see? Prosperity exploded. My country grew. I swelled with pride. Instead of getting a breather, my country collapsed overnight. It was a war no one saw coming. It threw my countrymen into turmoil, despair, and poverty. Instead of bullets and bombs claiming lives, it was bad finances, drought, and dust that brought them down. I watched as fortunes vanished, suicides increased, families were displaced, and pestilence filled the land. I questioned if they were strong enough to withstand the onslaught of an unknown future. I swung in the wind limply, looking for direction. My answer came with a catastrophic event many knew was coming, but few were prepared. I frantically waved a warning as a swarm of planes displaying the rising sun descended on Pearl Harbor. While my warning was too late, the response was phenomenal. The surprise attack awakened a passion and determination I thought was long lost. They became angry, united, and filled with an uncontrollable vengeance. United, we learned the names of Coral Sea, Midway, Kasserine Pass, Palermo, Messina, Normandy, Bastogne, Arnhem, Peleliu, Tarawa, Iwo Jima, and Okinawa. I was filled with holes, disappeared beneath the waves, drowned in wells, fell from the heavens, and trampled by treads. But I did not yield. I stood tall in the face of tyranny and crushed the oppressors bent on world domination. The victory was short-lived. I would learn new names, Pusan, Seoul, Wusan, Incheon, and Chosun. Again, my people died for those who couldn't defend themselves. I took a breather, hoping this would be the last one. I hoped the country would get a reprieve and heal. It did not happen. A new threat emerged bearing a hammer and sickle. I braced for the worst. The thought of nuclear annihilation was a real threat. I feared my children would become irrational. They didn't. I took a deep sigh of relief as cooler, wiser heads prevailed and we all didn't vaporize into a cloud of dust. Oh, say, can you see? In 10 years, I would once again find myself in a strange country and customs I didn't understand. I couldn't say no when the call came and my children answered the call. I questioned the reasons and the plan. I could only hope my children would make wise decisions and not soak me in blood again. I was wrong, as tens of thousands of my most cherished ones, the young, died on fields and jungles even I didn't know. Tonkin Bay, I Drang, Saigon, Khe Sanh, Hue, and Hanoi. This was different. In the past, I watched my children band together and make a stand for righteousness. Yet while they bled in the jungles, those back home rose up against me demanding change. They burned me, cursed me, ripped me, threw away medals, and denounced all I stood for. How could this happen? What had I done to deserve such animosity? There was also the unrest for forgotten people. They helped build the country with the sweat of their brows. They were sold and traded like livestock. I knew the day would come when they would gain a voice and be counted. That day had come. I knew not which way to look. Never had I seen my country involved in three conflicts at the same time. What could I do? Pray that wiser heads would prevail and heal a fractured country again. I cried when my children returned home from a war too many had turned against. Instead of welcoming them with my flowing colors, they were spit on and condemned for protecting me. It was one of my darkest days. The rift was giant and only inflamed when corruption poured forth from the government. How could they be so stupid? I could only watch and weep in disbelief and ask, where did I go wrong? It would be decades before I flew proudly again. The call for help came from the Middle East, another place I was familiar with only in name. My children rallied to the cause and defeated the foe in record time. My banner flew high and filled the country with pride and worth. Again, it wouldn't last. In 10 years, I would realize the horrors of war I hadn't seen in 60 years. Again, the enemy came from the skies, using our own planes in an effort to bring us to our knees. The result was just the opposite. As in 1941, My children were filled with a terrible resolve and took the fight where the enemy lived. I hailed the initial results. Those are my children at their best. And then it changed as leaders muddled and squabbled over issues of non-consequence. Were they going to repeat the same mistakes only a short 40 years ago? I could not bear watching my youth perish in a forgotten war again. It would be too much. Somehow, the lessons of the past were learned, and my children stayed united and welcomed home their heroes and loved ones. I prayed my children could finally come together again and work for the greater good. I was wrong. May 25th, 2020 would rock my country more dramatically than 7-4-1776, 6-18-1812, 12-7-1941, and 9-11-2001. At first, I saw a just cause and demanded those involved be prosecuted. It was a righteous cause. In the blink of an eye, it all changed. This wasn't the protest for civil rights or the removal of troops from a foreign country. This was war on my own soil, and not a shot had been fired. I watched in horrors as my cities were ransacked and burned. Hundreds were injured. Scores were killed. Local governments were not immune. The violence came to them at their homes. Law and order collapsed or were ordered to stand down. It was the one time I wished I could take a human form and ask, "What in the hell are you all doing? We have fought 10 major wars and countless small ones. We have vanquished tyranny when it raised its ugly head. We have overcome civil strife, a pandemic, and a depression. We have learned how to compromise and move forward. It hasn't always been easy, but we continue to persevere through it all. Together, we've stumbled, fallen, been knocked down, attacked, slandered, hated, ridiculed, but still we found a way to stand as one. Today, in my short 244 years, I find myself questioning the ability and temerity of our ability to heal. Never has the divide been so great. Never has so much anger been thrust upon my streets with unequivocal violence and rage until today. I never questioned our ability to unite and come together. Neither did I lose hope in our goal and mission as a beacon of truth and hope for those to admire until today. It is up to you and only you to address the issues at hand, and like your forefathers who were faced with similar problems, it is time to end the divisiveness that is plaguing my landscape from sea to shining sea. The chance of we're right and you're wrong are fruitless at best. It is difficult to hear when everyone is yelling and no one is listening. It is time to stop being children and become adults. I've been patient and understanding in my short existence. My colors are soaked with the blood of over 1.3 million lives. I have wept for the 1.4 million who returned burned, broken, and battered. Tell me honestly, it wasn't all in vain. Tell me that the widows, widowers, spouses cried for nothing. Tell me that the fatherless and motherless children who stare at the flag that covered their casket wasn't for a worthy cause. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me there is hope. Tell me you will work this out without tearing each other apart. Please tell me all the sacrifices weren't in vain. Please tell me. And that is a message that I have transmitted to my conservative and my liberal friends on a daily basis. I try and be calm, cool, and collect, and level-headed. I try not to jump up and down and say, look at my side, look at my side. See, we're right, you're wrong. If the facts are there and an argument is wrong, an argument is wrong, and it doesn't matter which side of the aisle it's coming from. It's wrong. Live with it. Deal with it. But don't keep covering it up. And don't keep closing your eyes to a truth. Take the blinders off. I'm a conservative. You'll see that when you look at my Facebook, if you look at LDDJEnterprises.com, yes, I'm a conservative, but I am not blind. I am not an ideologue. I do not take one side and say, well, by God, that's it. That's the way we're doing it. And most of the people that know me personally, they will say one thing. I am brutally honest. You might not like what you hear all the time, but I will not lie to you, and I will not kowtow, and I will not back down and just take a position because it's popular. Popularity has gotten us into this shitstorm right now. Oh, do they like me? Do they like me? Well, that's one of the books I wrote, Do Your Damn Job. And the book is not about being liked. It's about being a manager and taking responsibility and mentoring and teaching people how to play the game of baseball, how to be a better employee, how to move forward, how to make hard decisions. There is not enough of that in today's world. We all want to feel good. We want to be happy. Oh, he doesn't like me. Oh, get over it. When I'm in the work environment, it's the work environment, and that's it. We have a job to do, and we're going to do whatever it takes to get the job done, and that's it. I'm not here to drink beer with you. I'm not here to be your friend. I'm here to be your boss. And I have a boss, and I'm there to make his job easier. And if you like retro, hardcore, hard-boiled management techniques, Do Your Damn Job is the book to get. Okay. This next thing I wrote, this just drove me nuts. And it was over the Amy Comey Barrett confirmation and the right saying this and the left saying that. And now we're hearing about court packing. I just shook my head and said, oh, Jesus Christ, now what? Trump, like him or not, he's still the president. He can appoint Supreme Court judges. That's their job. Now it's up to the Senate to confirm it. That's the process. We know why Merrick Garland didn't get a hearing. Because Republicans controlled the Senate. And they had a hard-on for Obama, and that's just the way it was. And they weren't going to confirm anybody. If Garland would have been nominated a year before the election, I guarantee you the Republicans would have said, we're not holding a hearing on this. Okay, we can look back and say that was wrong. I looked up Merrick Garland, and I saw nothing really offensive about him. Because I look at it, how is the law? The law's got to stop being liberal and conservative. And this shit's got to stop. You're a judge. These are the laws. You cannot make the laws. It is not the Supreme Court's job to make laws, period. End of statement. It is their job to interpret the laws, come to a consensus, and give an opinion. How can all these people have a different opinion on the law? This is what always baffles me. It's right there. Why do you have to lean to the left or lean to the right? What does the law say? What did the founders write? What is in the Federalist Papers? I could go on for hours on that. It just aggravates the hell out of me. When did the law become liberal and conservative? Okay. So on 10/22, this is what I wrote. This morning, what are the American people being deluged with? The confirmation of Amy Coney Barrett. Who didn't show up? All the Democratic senators. Is that a shock? No. A vote is held, and she is confirmed for vote to go to the full Senate. Shocking. She won 12 to nothing. If the Dems would have shown up, the vote would have been 12 to 10. Surprised? Not at all if you've been following the political zoo we are encompassed with today. And now the Republican senators want to give a history lesson on past justice confirmations. Why? I have no idea. I am sick and tired of the grandstanding and endless speeches that continue to pervade our representative government. That really pissed me off. Yeah, the Dems didn't show up. Hell, they put cardboard cutouts that they've had at the baseball stadiums. What the hell is that? Would someone tell me what the hell was that all about? That was just ignorance. Bunch of damn kids. And then the Republicans, I had to turn the shit off. And it's like, you're going to give me a history lesson and nobody is listening. There is nobody in the room except the cameras. Turn off the cameras, go back to work, and shut the hell up. Yeah, that really pissed me off. All right, let's see. For those who don't understand the division of our great country right now, you're seeing it firsthand. How much longer are we going to endure and accept the behavior to support our own agendas and party's rhetoric? All these lofty speeches from senators and congressmen are changing no one's mind. What is it doing? For those of us with an analytical mind, it's pissing us the hell off at a meteoric pace. Yes, I'm a conservative Republican, but that does not in any way define that I support the bullshit pouring forth from D.C. How many hours of useless speeches are going to be spouted off today during the Senate Judicial Committee? One is too many, and I mean it. One is too many. I'll shut the hell up and go back to work. And then we had many of us heard about the Troy Aikman, Joe Buck, Fox Paul this weekend about the flyover to an empty stadium. Well, if that's the same thing here, well, it's the same thing here. If it weren't for the camera coverage, I already covered that. Nobody cared. Damn it. When is this country going to get back to work? When is the political divide going to heal? When is common sense and integrity going to make a comeback? To be blunt, when are we as Americans going to get our shit together? Actually, I think goat smelling ass would have been better than shit, but that's writer's prerogative. The most tragic part of the Democrats not showing up is how it rivals what the National Socialist German Workers' Party did back in the late 20s and early 30s. If they didn't like what legislation was being proposed, they walked out, and we know how that ended up. And no, I'm not comparing the Democrats to the Nazi Party, so don't even think that that is what I'm saying. This is worse than children fighting in the sandbox over a rusty toy no one would have given a second thought about. For those of us in our 60s and olders, we had sandboxes, and don't tell me you don't remember that. That toy sat out in the rain and the snow for 3 or 4 months. You went out there, Jimmy came over, neither one of you liked it, but all of a sudden that's the hot toy, and you fight over it, and it's like, damn thing doesn't even work anymore. Well, that's how I see our government working right now. This is not what our founding fathers had in mind at all. They wrote the Constitution so Americans could argue and discuss issues with a free mind of thought. My God, they argued amongst themselves on how to frame this new world. It only took over 10 years to build the document, but it left it open for amendments, for they didn't have a glass ball to see what the future held. But they persevered and wrote one of the most important documents concerning the governing of a nation in the world. It is a fabulous document. The amendments are good. If you haven't read the Federalist Papers, I believe it's a free download on Amazon. Get it. And you can see how they put this country together. It is time for us to remember our past and the trials and tribulations our great nation has endured for the last 244 years and how it is constantly evolving and changing. While we are the greatest nation on earth, we are far from perfect. But then what country is? And the only way we're going to move forward is to regain a sense of morality, decency, and responsibility. We must learn how to be civil towards each other instead of posting inflammatory remarks concerning the other side's faults and then spend useless hours pointing at the flaws and failures of others. It's time for us to look into our own souls and perform a true accounting of what fills our heart. We must be able to recognize our own faults and weaknesses before lashing out at those with a different view or opinion. Kind of like Jesus, when they were going to stone that woman And he said, whoever hasn't sinned, throw the first stone. What happened? Hell, they all walked away. If you agree 100% with either the left or the right, then you have lost all power of reason. No side is close to 100% correct. None. If you cannot have an open discussion with those who support your party and point out its flaws and issues, then all is lost. For you have convinced yourself you do no wrong, and this is one of the biggest damn problems I see. I argue with my conservative friends constantly, and they don't like it. Because I will point out the things that I don't like about our current president and some of the policies that are going through. But at least we can flesh it out and discuss it with reason. If you agree 100% with one ideal, you're ignorant. You're not looking at it with an open lens. You get the blinders turned in so far you can barely see your nose. And the same thing goes for the left. And I have asked this question of my liberal friends. Do you agree with everything that a Democratic president or Congress did? And I finally got one. After 8 years, one guy said, well, when Obama drew the line in the sand with Syria and didn't stand up to it, I said, that's it? That's only one thing. And I was asking for, since LBJ was president, how many can you come up with 10 policies that you don't like? One? What the hell? Jesus Christ. That means they supported the Gulf of Tonkin resolution. 54,000, 56,000 Americans died and 300,000 came back maimed, injured, and filled with PTSD. That never registered with any of them. It's like, what do you want to talk about then? It just drives me nuts. No side is 100% right, and I don't give a damn what universe you're in. All right, I will not succumb to the gloom and doom the left and right are forecasting if the other side wins in the upcoming election. It is we, the people, that determines what direction the country will follow and how it will evolve, but that evolution must be for all Americans, not just Democrats or Republicans. And I know people have talked about it for the last 20 to 30 years. This country needs a third party, and I believe we are rapidly approaching that time, and it's not going to be the Libertarians, and it's not going to be the Green. It's sure not going to be those nuts in the Communist Party. It is going to be a party that is going to grab hold of the left, and it's going to grab hold of the right, and it's going to shake the hell out of these people. And our government, it's going to transform. It's going to become a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Not for the rich and the famous. What did Harry Truman say? Anyone who leaves Washington as a millionaire is a crook. I know I'm paraphrasing what he said, but it's true. Yes, you can make good investments. You can make the right investment. But when you look at the amount of millionaires that are in the House of Representatives, the Senate, the judicial branch, the FBI, the CIA, go through the list. How in the hell have you pulled that off? Now, I understand some of them married well, whether it was male or female. John Kerry. I had a debate with some guys at a Waffle House one night. They were talking about how the Democrats are the poor party. And I looked at them and said, gentlemen, I don't mean to interrupt, but would you mind reading what's on those condiments, the ketchup, the mustard? And they looked at the bottles and they go, Heinz. And I said, yeah, what's on the other one? Heinz. I said, that's right. Do you know who John Kerry is married to? And they kind of stared at me like I'd lost my mind, which that's pretty normal some days. I said, it's Heinz, right? And they go, yeah, John Kerry married Elizabeth Heinz. Okay. And What stadium do the Pittsburgh Steelers play in? And that got their attention. Uh-oh, NFL. And they started lighting up. And I said, Heinz Stadium. And they're like, oh, shit. I said, yeah, that's the same Heinz. That's the family Carrie married into. Any other questions? Yeah, we all went back to our dinner. But how do you become a millionaire on $174,000 a year? And that's supposed to pay for your housing in the DC area. Go see what real estate runs up there and tell me you're making enough money. Yeah. Times are coming. Okay, it wasn't that long ago when Americans came together when under attack, 12/7/41, 9/11/2001. Did we care who our neighbor voted for or their political affiliations? No. We came together as a nation and chose to unite against a common enemy and goal. That is what our founding fathers recognized, the unyielding, unbreakable spirit of Americans. That is the America I want. One where politicians and news agencies no longer attempt to manipulate our every waking hour thought process. An America that is the land of the free and the home of the brave. Now, for the most part, those are pretty sane. I did add a little to the second one, but I can see the issue from both sides. And then we come up with this. This is the one I was saving. And Jesus Christ. Hunter Biden has turned himself into the FBI. He was personally interviewed this afternoon by Barr and six other Justice Department lawyers. You know, that right there should be enough to say this is bullshit. Oh, no. He has been stashed in a medical facility in Washington, D.C., where he's getting treatment for his addictions. Horseshit. So far, he has signed statements and provided proof of over $300 million in bribes the Biden family has received in the last 20 years. The funds are hidden in several accounts in Switzerland, and Hunter has provided proof that Joe Biden has been assessing those accounts and using funds for years. So far, the evidence shows Joe Biden has personally removed over $45 million in cash and used it for personal items. The information has been forwarded to a special unit of the IRS for investigation. Gee, give me a fucking break. Barr will be meeting with Biden on Friday and recommend he either withdraw from the race or face numerous criminal charges. If he withdraws from the race and forfeit all funds in the accounts, the Biden family, and specifically Hunter, will not face criminal charges. And I about lost my mind when I read that. And I fired back an answer and said, are you kidding me? This is shit from QAnon. Because he wanted to know, is it real? Well, hell no, it's not real, you dumbass. What part of this even speaks to the truth? I know who I'm voting for this year. No, it's not Joe Biden. But this is the type of shit that fills up Facebook and fills up news feeds and fills up Twitter, and people actually believe this. Well, this was supposed to all come to fruition on Friday, and he is a good friend of mine. I've known him since junior high, because we played baseball together. But he had to say last night that, well, I guess it's not true. You think? Yet what in God's name made you even think an iota of this was truth? Nothing. It's not a damn thing in here. We're still waiting for, oh, damn, Barr's assistant. Shit, his name escaped me. Who's been investigating this whole Biden, FBI, Justice Department? Shit, what's his name? Durham? I think it's Durham. He hasn't come out with anything yet. This is the man who can have the bomb or the dud. but we won't know until he releases his findings. You haven't heard about it in the media lately, have you? Every once in a while, Trump will bring it up. Well, how come charges haven't been filed? Well, because the investigation isn't over. Do you want to put the cart in front of the horse, or do you actually want to do something and do it right? We saw what happened with Mueller's report, and he sat there in the hearing and he just got ripped apart. He didn't read it. And I still don't understand how that little bastardization of justice wasn't properly dealt with. He didn't read his own report. And it was very evident during the hearings. Did they rush that report? Well, it took 2 years. And since I read it, there was nothing there. There was no collusion with Russia. That's a given. If you haven't read the report, read the report. Now, the obstruction part was murky. And I know Donald came out and said, I'm exonerated. I'm exonerated. Well, yes and no. He was exonerated to a small degree. If his advisors, if Bannon and, oh shit, second name escapes me, would have done what he wanted them to do in getting Mueller fired and Sessions reinstated, then there would have been a hard case for obstruction. Would he have been convicted of it? Well, now we're dealing with the House and the Senate. And now we're looking at political parties. I would be speculating, but I would say if it got to the Senate, the Republicans would have just discarded everything, ignored it, and just moved on, right or wrong. But this insanity, I could not believe when he asked me, when he put it out there, if anyone could verify this. I am relatively marginally familiar with QAnon. In fact, a good friend of mine, a lot of his guests were talking about this, and I'm not going to use their names, but the two guests they had on, oh my God, it was doom and gloom, and how the government was going to have this be shut. In fact, what was the clock? 10-2. 10-2 was supposed to be the date all this happened. And while they were interviewing this guy, now, this is when Trump had the coronavirus, when they were getting ready to send him to Walter Reed. And one of the guys was talking about, oh, a friend of mine from Halifax just said he saw Air Force One flying over. And these guys were like, see, it's starting. It's starting. I said, what the hell's starting? Not a damn thing is starting. There was going to be this media blackout. All the networks are going to be shut down, and the emergency broadcasting was going to take over, and it's going to be 10 days of darkness. And what the hell are you smoking? It's like this article here. If you read this, okay, so if Biden drops out of the race, does that mean Harris can't continue running? Now, I don't know the laws in all the states. I'm not a lawyer. But imagine that. Okay, let's say that happened. That for some odd quirk in the law, well, if you don't have a presidential candidate and a vice presidential candidate on the ticket in that state, well, then you all can't run. You're kidding me, right? You're going to do this like 3, 5 days before the election and say, oh, I'm sorry, Democrats, you can't have anybody running against Trump this year. Can you imagine the insanity that would grip this country? What we saw this summer would be nothing. Every city of a metropolitan size would be up in arms, and there is no way that local law enforcement will be able to contain it. And the National Guard would not be enough. You would have to bring in the United States military, the Air Force, the Army, the Marines, the Coast Guard, the special ops organizations to put it down. And now you're going to lock down the United States in martial law, not just in a city and not just in a state, but you'd have to do it across the whole country. That's insanity. And some people actually supported it. Are you just stupid? Are you kidding me? This would be the worst thing that could happen to this country at this date and time. Oh, well, the Democrats just can't run anybody against Trump. People, think. Take your blinders off and have a thought. Because this is really bad. That stuff right there really causes problems. Now, if you've got a problem with Biden, then look at his running mate. And this is what floors me. I just don't understand. I know that you got all these women out there that don't like Trump, and most of them are on the left because of the things he said when he wasn't president about grabbing women's genitals. And he's been married three times. Okay. He obviously, obviously Hugh Hefner didn't run for president, but between him and Wilt Chamberlain, they put everybody to shame when it comes to how many women they've probably had in their stable. But, we saw this Me Too movement a year ago, and we saw Matt Lauer lose his job over this, and we saw Pat O'Reilly. Is that his first name? The guy who had the O'Reilly hour. We saw him go down. We saw countless people go down. Now, except for Bill Clinton and Monica, sadly, she went down not once, but twice when Hillary came after her. But the gals who support this Me Too movement, they're progressive, not a problem with that. They want to stand on their own. They don't want a man. They don't want to have to do sexual favors to advance their career. And that's Joe's running mate. She figured out how to move herself up. Let's have an affair with Willie Brown and let his wife know about it. Yet I stand for women's rights. Well, I'm sorry, but she destroys the Me Too movement with her history. You want to talk about history? Look at how she rose through the ranks of the Democratic Party in California. And it is everything against what the Me Too movement stands for. All of it. If the Democrats would have been really serious this year and wanted a strong woman, and to be honest, it's one that I could get behind, and that's Tulsi Gabbard. She is young. She is smart. She is strong. She is a veteran. And then I'll say the last thing, she is attractive. But that's the last trait that I threw out there, because that is a woman of strong conviction, but logical, analytical reasoning. She can look at an issue from both sides. She is not blinded by the ideology of the DNC. And I believe that is what I admire and like about her most. I liked her in the debates. I've listened to her give a few interviews. And if she and Kayleigh McEnany came together, and Candace Owens and Condoleezza Rice, if you got those four women together, that would be an unstoppable power. They are young, smart, and driven. They aren't hard left and they aren't hard right. They are Americans. Now, I understand Candace Owens is hard right, but I believe she can be analytical and intelligent on issues. But, for the women who want strong women, there's four for you right there. And you got a great mix of ethnicities, of inclusiveness. Isn't that what you want? Well, I believe that answer is yes. And it's not Kamala, and it's not Elizabeth, and it's sure the hell isn't Nancy or Klobuchar or Whitmer. They're all toeing the party line. And yeah, they're Republican women that are toeing the party line. Those four gals are able to reason. You can agree or you can disagree with that analysis. It's entirely up to you. But that is what the future of America needs to look like. I mean, all these people, especially all these progressive women, they have bitched and moaned and complained for the last 20 years. They're tired of old white men running the government. Well, who the hell did you nominate as your candidate? He's 78 years old. And his the second runner was Bernie. This makes no sense. You are supporting everything that you keep saying you don't want to happen. And that to me is blinders. You don't see what's going on. You can't see the tree for the forest, and you don't want to see it. We'll just put it in California and let the whole damn thing burn down. Or Colorado, because they're having fires too. Or we could have had them in Australia and all that would have been wiped out. And maybe that's what needs to happen. It's not just the swamp, it's the whole damn thing. We're going to literally drain it. Like they said in Major League, turn it into a parking lot. I think that's what we need to do. We'll turn DC into a parking lot and start over. And since I'm in construction, I know where to begin. Tearing it down is the easy part. Rebuilding is the hard part, but we've got the foundation. The founders wrote it. It's right there, and it's time to get back to it. Is that really asking too much? And it is definitely time for new blood in DC. Otherwise, we are going to be stuck in this left-right crap that the only people that are going to like it are those who support the party line 100%. I hope that makes sense. And I might have got a little passionate today and a little excited, but I'm just sick of it. I really am. It's not that hard. There was a time where common sense prevailed. It was very prevalent when I was growing up. It's just like our parents. We didn't always agree with the things that they told us to do or taught us, but we learned. And as we got older, we were able to take that information and use it in the correct way. Well, I hope you learned something today. I hope you enjoyed it. And do check out all of my books on Amazon at Jeff Dawson. You have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you in 2 weeks. I hope you enjoyed our time together. I know I did. Without you wonderful listeners, this show would not be possible. If you want to know more about me and how my brain works, that's a scary thought, check out my books at Jeff Dawson on Amazon.com, websites LDDJ Enterprises and Jeff Dawson Author.site for upcoming releases and teaser excerpts from past and present publications. You can also contact me at Facebook, LDDJ Enterprises Publishing, or email LDDJEnterprises@gmail.com or on Twitter at JeffDawson59. Have a great week and look forward to seeing you on the next episode of Dawson's Domain.